Get to Old Navy Saturday and Sunday just in time for back to school. Girls and boys polos are $3 in stores only. Plus, Saturday only jeans are $10 for adults, $7 for kids at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid 8/10 to 8/11. Limit 5 polos. Select styles only.
With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower.
Thanks for listening.
Greetings on this Friday. This is the Watchman. Tower sends her prayers and her blessings. This is one show that I do in the morning on Fridays for our weekend and our Sabbath. For all those out there, I was considering a while ago to fast from all the news for a week. You'd probably have to fast from it continually because nobody listens to one another. It's just ridiculously. I don't know, there's a lot of words for it, but it's too bad. And it's nothing that I didn't know about. I've known about this for many, many years, going back into the 70s when the Lord revealed things to me. I've lived with it all my life. And now that I see certain things happening, stuff that I was told many years ago, it doesn't make it any easier to see this. It wasn't easy on the prophets either. When they had to tell Judah, or even the northern tribes, Israel, Ephraim, what was coming. Never does get easy. We have some articles check out for you. Kingdom's Call of the Light in Christ Jesus and Christ Jesus of the Faith You Follow. You can find those over on danaglensmith.com or warren-usa.com. I admonish you to check those out. Remember, all of the radio shows are broadcast through our WIBR Warren Radio Network. And as of now, you can get them on Warren Radio Visions. Of course, our videos for a short time, probably about another year or so, will be on Vimeo, and then I'm removing them. We don't do videos anymore. If I do videos, I'll do special videos. And that's videos are also on Facebook, and they'll probably stay there because people do find them over there. We had someone that stopped by over there that hadn't listened to the show in some time and really liked the teaching on Revelation. You can also listen to us through Blueberry and its networks, iHeartRadio and its networks. We're on iTunes. Spreaker, of course, is what we're broadcasting on now, and all of its networks and shows, Stitcher, TuneIn, Acast, Google Play Music, and it's also sent automatically to YouTube, but YouTube has been a no-brainer. I don't care for YouTube. I do watch some videos on there, but as far as doing what I do on there, it's just absolutely doesn't do any good at all. And over the years, and I've been doing this for over 21 years, we were on YouTube for a lot of years. And but then it just got to the point where you had nothing but, didn't do any good. Nothing really came of it. And then YouTube started doing their thing to where even today, you know, the keyword Christian gets it removed. So it's a pagan site. There are Christians there, but it's pagan, antichrist. Most of this media is antichrist. Most of the tech is antichrist. You can guarantee it. And I've gone into detail writing about this, and I've warned about the internet, and you know, I use it, but, and it's a way to get it out to people who need to hear the word. But predominantly, this digital internet is not your friend. It is your enemy. It is amoral. Now, the thing I like about it is that I can find and get information on things that I need to know about. You know, various research and things like that. It's great for that. That's what it was originally intended for. But the social media, the verbiage, the hatred, people just not giving anybody any mercy. It just designates a society totally lawless and without God. That is really where we are. We are a country that, although we have churches, we don't have a foundation of Christ. We have the churches, we have the semblance, but we don't have the Christ. And so, if you're listening to me today and you're a Christian, I need you to read these articles and pass them along to people who need them. Because I can tell you that if I had all the money in the world, I could turn around and, or at least more than we have now, I could advertise. But even in that advertisement and the ads, it doesn't mean they're going to get anywhere, because almost all of the stuff is slanted in the searches and everywhere else. And so this is, now a lot of your easy peasy churches, I call them the Sugar Plum Church and the Fairy Tale Jesus. You know, they don't have any problems with all this because they're not an enemy. They're part of the problem. America has lost track, and the judgment is coming. We're in that judgment now. And you've had generations of children brought up without God by a pagan-centered, humanistic-centered mindset in our schools. Now, there are a lot of innocent kids in these schools. And if you're a parent, you got your kids in this system of public schools, you'd better keep an eye on them. You better know what these teachers are teaching, because they will lead them straight to hell if you're not paying attention. A lot of kids have been led and destroyed because of what we're doing in this country, and the judgment will occur. So don't forget to check out our websites, pass along the stuff. And it's not that if I sound a little depressed, I'm not depressed. I'm bothered over a lot of stuff. I've been worn in this country for a lot of years. I've been teaching for a lot of years. And I have to take care of all the websites and everything. I have to do all the articles. I have to go through articles, old articles. I have to go through the websites, the social media. I pretty much do it all, as well as all the shows, writing all the stuff. And it's just way too much. Just all the time. Every day, all the time. And I'm not complaining. That's what it is. That's what I do. But, you know, to see what these people are doing and the hatred, the thing that encourages me are a lot of the other voices out there that don't like it either. And they can be Hispanic, they can be black, they can be other whites, they can be any number of races, creeds, and colors. From listening in the media, you'd think that the blacks, Hispanics, and some of the knuckleheaded whites all hate America. That's not true. There are a lot of good people out there that are sick to death of what these in Washington are doing. And when you have major gun violence like you did this last week, I think it was this week. But see, we've had gun violence anyway. They're not the first one. We've had a lot of other violence. Under Obama's thing, we had actual people that were adhering to Islam doing the violence. So it's not just under Trump's thing. And to all put it all on Trump is stupid, idiotic, moronic. But you can't tell anybody anything, especially with the news networks literally lying to the public, to their listeners, and the listeners gobbling it up. This is where God hands a nation over to its own delusion. Their corrupt minds. They're void of truth. Ever learning, but they're not able to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is where we're at in America today. And if you're a Christian, you had better get your pastor stirred up in your churches, because this country needs to hear from true God-fearing people who can turn people back to the truth, or at least warn the ones who are unruly. These people need to know, because there's a difference. It's time to stand up. Now today, Alpha Omega, the Almighty Blood Guilt. This is Cain to Armageddon, Part 3. And I put Blood Guilt. I've been teaching this for years. Cain to Armageddon. Literally, you can take this all the way from Cain to Armageddon. And today, we're going to be looking at various things in here. And we're going to be in Revelation. The judgment of the blood. Now, folks, when I tell you that God is not mocked, that is found in Scripture. You know that if you're a believer. He's not going to be mocked by this generation, by America, or by any nation. And God just isn't going to be judging America. He will judge the nations, plural. He will judge the leaders. He will judge Ayatollah in Iran, who pushes Christian persecution and leading his people into a pit of hell. He will judge Kim Jong-un and all of his family for the way they've treated their own people in North Korea. He will judge all of those in China who are the communists that are leading that country for the way they've treated their own people. There is no doubt that today the leader, Jinping, I think, Xi, he is heading back to the Maoist days. Well, under Mao and Stalin both, genocide was at its all-time high. They killed millions of their own people. Revelation 1:1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. He sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. who bear record of the Word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. The seven churches, of course, is what I call God's perfect number. This represents all-encompassing churches that exist. And although this is sent to seven distinct churches, it's sent to all the churches. It's a number of perfection and completion. Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Almighty. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That's comforting. He washed us. Now see, you notice it says, in his own blood. God had determined that it was through the blood that atonement would be made for the sins of men. And of course, by that I mean human beings. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Behold, he comes with the clouds, which we can't wait for, but we're going to wait, because we got to keep his patience, the word of his patience. Every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Now this is the glorified Christ. This is after the work on the cross. He defeated all principalities and powers, triumphing over them openly. And he is now the ultimate. He is the Almighty. He is the one his Father has chosen, who is to be the Almighty, and who is to triumph, and who is to put down every enemy there is, including ISIS, any and all other enemies. I, John, who am also your brother and companion in tribulation, in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, the kingdom and patience. There's always going to be patience there, and although we may not like it, I may not like that what's going on in America, I don't. I haven't for years. But there's nothing I can do about it. And that's just the way it is. That's part of the burden. And there's a burden that when God calls you to do something, you have to do it. You're purposed. I'm not here to argue with you. I'm not here to put up with your foolishness. I won't put up with it. I'll tell you to shut up if I have to. I am not here to mess around. And I am not here to be messed with. To me, this is my life. This is calling. This is a purpose. I am a voice. And well did Isaiah said, one crying in the wilderness, that's what it feels like at times. And in my case, I literally am kind of in the wilderness compared to many other nations or many other states. Was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, you see, Revelation details a lot of things, among them the judgment on the nations in the tribulation. It details the judgment on the blood guilt of those on the earth, and it details the succession of this judgment. Now see, people can murder and thieve and steal right now. And they can go on living, and the only thing they have to worry about is the justice of men, which God allows, and God actually helps. Because the justice and the method of governance, in order to allow people to live in an orderly manner and keep them protected from the enemy, is important. However, in some nations today, like Buhari's Nigeria, they don't protect the Christians there, so they're continually getting slaughtered by Boko Haram and the Fulani. And in Iran, their governance is not true. It's true to their adherents, but they persecute Christians and other groups. So we see that while there's governance in the earth, it isn't always fair or honest or holy or righteous. Now, in their mind, they think they are. But John in chapter 1, 10 through 20, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice was as the sound of many waters. Now this whole thing on Revelation is on my website. I'm not going to go into what all this is, because I'm reading this for a purpose, obviously, of course. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of death and hell. Write the things that you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Now, within this, he makes clear that you understand that he is the first and the last. He is the Alpha, and he is the Omega. And so the judgment here, and the judge is speaking to you. Now he's telling you who he is and what happened. But he's not here to make light of anything. Revelation is something that's going to happen. It is a warning, and it's also a comfort. As the Apostle Paul said, when speaking of the gospel message and even of the apostles, including himself, he says, we are an aroma of life to those who believe, an aroma of death to those who do not believe. So if you believe and serve the Lord, when we preach the word or teach the word or give a word of prophecy, it's an aroma of life. But if you do not believe, if you're on the other side of the fence, it is an aroma of death. And that is why many Christians get killed today, because just to who they represent, people hate them. It's an aroma of death to them when they see them. And in the Middle East, we see this a lot with the Hindus as well as the Muslims. They do not want any Christians in their communities. They don't want them around because, for some mysterious reason, many of their people start becoming Christians. And even the threat in Islam of death for apostasy doesn't stop these people from coming to Christ. That's because Christ is calling them out. Now, the bottom line today is that God allows nations to go on. There are choices, but he operates within those nations. And there are people that get saved, many of them. There's miracles and signs and wonders today. But in Revelation 11, 15 through 19, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, he shall reign forever and ever. Now this is an interesting verse because it says, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord. Well, doesn't he already have the earth and all that therein is? He really does. He is Lord over all things. But in this, he's taken personal possession of everything. He's going to hold every nation accountable. And he is going to hold people accountable. Until now, he has not done it. And there will be judgments coming. There will be times he interferes, intercedes into the affairs that are going on. And it says here in verse 16, and the 24 elders which sat before God in their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and are to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. In other words, he has intervened to hold people accountable. The nations were angry, and thy wrath has come. And you know, the eight nations today, you know, I was looking at Psalm 2, and it says basically the same thing. You know, the nations. You know, when we look at it, it's interesting. Why do the heathen rage? That's tumultuous. And the people imagine, that is, murmur, meditate, mourn, mutter, roar, a vain thing, emptiness, worthless, empty to no purpose. The kings of the earth set themselves, and rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed. I mean, that's literally what's going on now. And in America, that's going on, because the left is raging. They're raging against Trump. They're raging against whites, because we're the targets. And I'm not white. My paper is white. I've said that a dozen times. These people that use that verbiage don't know what they're talking about. Whites are not white. Unless they're an albino. Now that's white. But you can't tell people anything. They're going to rage anyway. Well, you're more whiter than I am. Well, no, we're not whiter than you are. We have pigments, and our pigments color us, the color of skin, the color of flesh. And some of that flesh is darker than others. You're darker than we are. But we're not white. Technical point. So the nations were angry, and thy wrath has come in the time of the dead, that they should be judged, that you should give reward unto your servants the prophets, unto the saints, and them that fear thy name, great, small, and great, and should destroy them which destroy the earth. Now he's talking about the nations, he's talking about all men here, and talking about those who have been destroying the earth, not just the earth itself, but the people in the earth. This is the time, the final time. And so while you can see in Chicago or New York or Denver or LA murderers and punks going around in groups killing one another and killing people, and the cops trying to break them up, and you can see people, even in America, who are Islamists, who are preparing for a war with the whites, with the Christians in this country. And that's going on now. And see, they can all prepare, and they can all think they're doing God's service, and all this other stuff. The Lord warned us that this is what they would do. But that blood and everything that they're shedding is going to come to a fullness. And God is going to call it an end. And his son will come. And he will destroy those who have been destroying the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven. There was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and earthquake and a great hail. The testament and the ark there both show the righteousness and the holiness of God in his judgment. That's the proof. It's all written down. Everything is there. His law, his testimony, what's been going on, everything is down. So we have that in Revelation, where God will hold the nations accountable. But we're going to get even further into this. But we do want to understand a few things before we get there. See, there are problems with the human condition today after the fall. Number one, it is appointed to men once to die, and after that, the judgment. There's another point. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's another point. The soul that sins will die. So, because of the curse, the fall of man, your body, you're going to die. You're not going to live forever. But every soul within that body has sinned. And every soul that sins is going to die. So you automatically face the death sentence. That's why Christ came to deliver you. There's no reason people should die and go to hell because Christ made a way, but people don't come. And you can read this in the context of John 3:16. Go down a few verses. Stop stopping at John 3:16. Pay attention to the other verses. They don't come because they love. They won't come to the light because they love darkness more. And that's the way it is in America today. When they pass laws to kill babies in the third trimester. That's even when a woman has a baby and she wants to have an abortion. If that baby comes out alive, they can kill it outside of the womb in some states now. See, the law was before, if you're going to abort that baby, you have to kill it in the womb, and that made it legal, but it was still killing the baby, and the baby was alive, and they would pull the baby out. And even Planned Parenthood is facing problems because of selling baby parts. Make no mistake, all this stuff is going to come to light one day. This is all blood guilt. Now, of course, we know that Adam and Eve were warned in Genesis 2:17 of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You will not eat of it, for in the day that you eat, you will die. Ezekiel 18:4, behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's Ezekiel 18:4. See, you may think you're independent, and even in the female, well, the body's mine, I can do with what I want to. Well, the body is yours, but God made it. And the soul within that body, which is you, belongs to God. You'll be held accountable by Him for what you do in that body. And if you sin, your soul will die. But the baby that you're having is not yours. You may call it yours. It's not yours. It's God's. He put it there. He created it. And its life, being innocent, is in the hands of God. And if you kill it on the way out of the birth canal, you're a murderer. Period. Now you, as a woman, if you have an abortion, you can be forgiven. And even the guilt can be erased. But you got to seek the Lord. But see, we have a whole atmosphere here where we have no qualms about killing this innocent life, even outside of the womb. And it wasn't too long ago, the wife and I were in the presence of a family that had a newborn baby. He was just hours old. Now see, this is what we're talking about, killing a baby outside the womb. That kind of a baby, life form, outside the womb, they can kill it now. And the Democrats in the House have repeatedly rejected another law that would protect them if they're born alive outside. The Democrats won't pass it. So this tells you what kind of sort we have in the House. Ezekiel 18:20, the soul that sinneth it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked. In other words, what I do is not my dad's fault. What your son does is not your fault, whether it be good or bad, to your good or to your bad. Every person is going to be responsible for their own. Paul writes in Romans 6:25, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, this is the two different scenarios. The wages of sin is death, if you're going to be a sinner. Now, you know, I seen a sign on one of the social media. And see, this is what makes these kids popular. You know, it's popular to be a Satanist and all this other. And he had a sign up there and he had posted it. You know, and it was something about I'd rather serve in hell than be in heaven, something to that effect. Foolish, stupid kid. One that has been mistaught, one that has been misled, and now finds joy on the internet and comfort with other misled young people. And they comfort each other in their statements, just like Antifa. You know, they get together in their own private chats online, and then they go out and beat the hell out of someone. I was raised with people like this. They don't fight one-on-one. They fight five-on-one. Yeah, that's the way they work. I know these kind of people. There are names for them, but I won't use them here. And they need to be broken up. But see, they encourage each other online. And this is what online does. It is amoral. It could care less whether you're good or bad. It just does its job. And so now we are trying to put morality into a system that's immoral. And so you have Twitter, who admitted, the CEO, the creator of Twitter, came out and said that we are decidedly liberal, left-leaning. Google came out and said that they were going to work to stop President Trump from getting elected. They're not supposed to be doing that. And see, for years when it first started, these things didn't have a certain decision. They pretty much did their own thing. But not anymore. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned, come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Now, see, the blood plays an important part here. While there is a judgment on the death of the innocent, and when Christ died, there was a judgment set in that, that he took the sins of the world upon his shoulders, and he was innocent. And because he was innocent and spotless, his blood met the requirements for the atonement that God had declared in the law. So when he shed that blood, that became the atonement, and you have to apply the blood. And in this case, you have to receive him and believe upon him. Just as Abraham believed God, is imputed unto him for righteousness' sake. Just as during the Passover, the children of Israel took the Passover lamb, and they slew it, and took the blood, and applied it to the lintels of the doorpost, and they weren't supposed to go out of their house, because if they went out, they could face the judgment. And today, as Christians, we're under the blood of Christ. We can't get out from under it. That means to leave Christ, to depart from him, and to do our own thing. You have to stay where Christ can cover you. So the blood does come in effect here when we're talking about it. Now see, it was like in Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now see, this is Paul explaining all this. So death reigned from Adam to Moses, and it wasn't until the Son of God came, the gift, that we could be justified through Christ and his blood. And so Paul in verse 21 says that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Christ Jesus our Lord. See, today, death doesn't have to reign. You don't have to worry about the sentence of this because of the blood of Christ, because of the work on the cross. So when you believe, when you have received him, as in John 1, been born again of the Spirit, as in John 3, and as you have confessed your sins, as it does say, confess salvation, it's through confession. So we confess our sins. You can read about that in Romans 3 through 7. So there's an important part to understand here, that the atonement was in the blood, and it was for a purpose. It gives life. And so there is a transgression of that blood when you murder. And so in Ephesians 2, Paul says, and you has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened us together with Christ, for by grace are you saved. In verse 8, he says it again, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. That whole section is talking about that. Now the law about that, Leviticus 17, verse 11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. So in verse 12, I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you eat blood. Now see, this is precisely why in Satanist ceremonies, and I mean true dark Satanists, the sacrifice of the innocent, in this case, even children have been sacrificed to Satan because of the innocency of the blood. That's why in one of the strongest spirits there is one of sex and blood. It defiles the body through sex and defiles the blood through misuse and make it into something God never intended. This is what the devil does. He's a liar. He's been a liar. And now we have a lot of liars on this earth today who follow Satan. And there's religious people who are liars, who are leading people astray, and God is going to destroy them. Now, there is one truth, and the world doesn't want to hear it. And Christian, you need to stand up, and you need to understand. You don't have to go out and yell and scream, you know, but the bottom line of it is God can lead you, and you can be a witness in your own way. There is proper ways to bring people to the Lord. And just yelling and screaming on top of a house or something, or even on a corner, is not the way to do it. Now, you can warn a nation that way. You surely can. But you need to go to them. See, we don't hate the sinner. We hate the sin. We love the sinner. We love people. We want to see them redeemed. So it's very important to understand the laws in these things. And in verse 4, you know, when we talk about the atonement, and that's what the children of Israel had, they had the blood of bulls and goats to make atonement for the sins of the children of Israel. That's the old covenant. But see, as Paul pointed out in Hebrews 10, and this is a good section for you to read and study if you don't understand this. He says, "For it is not possible that the blood of goats, bulls and goats should take away sins." Verse 12, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God." Now see, other than that, a priest, he stands daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices. They can never take away the sins. And then they had the Day of Atonement once a year. But they had to do it all the time. But see, Christ came and offered one sacrifice forever. That's what Christ did. And this is why the devil is so adamant to disprove Christ, to reject him, and to give other books, other faiths, other ideas for people to follow. There's no other way. Christ is the way. And we are in deception. And one of the biggest things the Lord warned about is deception in these end of days. And there's been Christians, and I've seen their stories. I've seen their decisions to leave Christ. I mean, that's like saying, okay, I want to live in hell the rest of my life. Well, that's one of the ways to do it. But see, there's some people today that have been given over to reprobate mind, and we have them in America. We have a Congress that has been given a reprobate mind, many of them. They're reprobates. They've been given over, and they've been taken over because of their own hatred. But you're also in a nation that is that way. Verse 12, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God." Verse 14, "For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified." That's those of us who have believed upon him as Abraham believed God. And is imputed unto us for righteousness' sake because we believe God. And we become sanctified. Verse 15, "Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after he has said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. There's no other offering that's going to remit sins. That's it. You're not going to remit the sins of men any other way. This is the finality. This is it. So, when we talk about the blood, This is the use. When we talk about the blood, God intended the blood to be redemptive. But see, man, when they're murdering in hate, makes it destructive. And so this is really, especially today, where we're at. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is the very verse that I even used when I was talking with the pastor, because he denied the Father and the Son. This was a Christian pastor. There is a Father and there is a Son. Now see, he said, well, the Son is the Father. No, that's not even biblical. God can't send himself. He sends his Son. That's the whole idea. God so loved the world that he sent his Son. He didn't send himself. He sent his Son. But his Spirit is in his Son, just like his Spirit is in us. But it didn't do any good, because the pastor didn't believe me. I told him that verse. He says, yeah, you say that too. But no more. He's totally convinced. And everything he did now shut down. I don't know where he's at. His church is shut down. He had a business that he's running. It's shut down. Who knows? I haven't seen him. But I've stood there. And in all these years, and I've been doing this 21 years, and I started back in the mid-70s with Tower. We've been doing it. We've been walking this walk of Christ for a lot of years, folks. So pay attention. I'm not just a newbie here. I know what I'm talking about, and I'm here to tell you. Like, for instance, on the streets. Yeah. You know who I run into there? I run into ex-pastors who had left the ministry and were, you know, no longer believers. And I remember one on one part of town that isn't exactly the best part of town. I ran into him, started talking to him. He asked me for some money, and I never carry cash anyway, so I just happened to have, I think it was $5, maybe 10, can't remember what, and I was talking to him, and he was a pastor, an ex-pastor, and he was homeless. He'd been wandering around. I mean, he's a bum now. He was hitchhiking, and he wasn't from the city. He had come here from somewhere else. And so I prayed with him. He received Christ again. And I gave him the only money I had, and I never seen him again. My pastor told me before I went in the ministry, he says there's a lot of preachers, ex-preachers, who leave the ministry and leave Christ. I mean, and there are. It takes its toll. And just recently, there was one of the biggest ones who created a stir because he denounced his faith that he had for so many years. This is a battle, and you can't give up. But see, you get into the battle, but you get into the grace of God through Christ, and you get sanctified, you get to be his child. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Now that is the redemptive portion. In Hebrews 10:16, Paul writes, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws into their hearts, and their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember more, no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. By a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. This is the blood of the covenant. Verse 29, he goes on to say, let's start at verse 28. 27, let's do that one. Well, 26 is a good one too. Sorry about that. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. That's what happened in the Old Testament. Now he says, of how much sore punishment suppose you shall be thought worthy, who has trodden underfoot the Son of God, and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. The Spirit of grace is why you get saved. God gives you his favor. He has provided an atonement in the form of his Son, and you have counted that unworthy. That is the blood of the covenant. Now that is what many people do today, and there are even pastors, so-called Christian pastors, that are in the ministry today that discount that, that don't even count him as the Son of God, don't believe that he died on the cross and was resurrected from the dead, totally decrepit. There are people in the ministry today and in the church today that are satanic. There are people that are in there that are teaching congregations things that will send them to hell, and they stand as tares in the house of God. Now, I'm telling you that the church and the building is not what Christ is coming for. He's coming for those who have been redeemed, and they have been placed under the blood of the covenant and have received the Spirit of grace, and they know this God, and he is their Father. And when we're talking about the blood of the covenant, this is one of the important things you need to understand. And this is also when we talk about blood guilt. Christ took the blood guilt. Those who killed him were accounted worthy, were accounted guilty because they shed innocent blood by killing him on the cross. But yet he became cursed because he was on that cross. Cursed is everyone that hangs upon the tree. He took the sins of men and placed them under his blood because he was innocent. And he shed his blood because he became a transgressor in place of us, so that we might live through him. Now see, Satan wants to destroy that. The enemies of God want to destroy that. And there's lots of them out there. Especially in the Muslim realm, there's a lot of them. But there are Muslims who really want to know the truth. And we have on our show given you testimonies of people, from imams to others, who really did come to know the Lord. So today, as we're talking about all this, we're coming to an end. We're talking about blood guilt, and we're covering the fact that the final judgment of this is going to be in Revelation, and right now we were discussing the New Testament blood of the covenant, how that relates in the blood and in the blood guilt. Father, we thank you for this word and for all those that hear. Lord, bless them. Help them to understand this, Lord God. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, and the receiving of this word. In Jesus' name. Don't forget to go by our websites, warren-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And we'll see you again next week. This is the Watchman in for Tower. Shalom, everybody. God bless.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Warn Radio.
Get to Old Navy Saturday and Sunday just in time for back to school. Girls and boys polos are $3 in stores only. Plus, Saturday only jeans are $10 for adults, $7 for kids at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid 8/10 to 8/11. Limit 5 polos. Select styles only. Get to Old Navy Saturday and Sunday just in time for back to school. Girls and boys polos are $3 in stores only. Plus, Saturday only jeans are $10 for adults, $7 for kids at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid 8/10 to 8/11. Limit 5 polos. Select styles only.